Morning. Oh, in the cross be my glory. May my glory be, right? Or be ever be. I want that. That struck me. I have to admit I cheated there, and a couple times I like to just close my eyes and listen to everybody else. I find it's very beautiful. Well, it is a beautiful day today. And let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for just bringing us all here together on a beautiful November day. Lord, time seems to go by so quickly. We're almost at another end of another year. Lord, may you just be present here with us today and help us to have our hearts open and just ready to absorb whatever you would have. Just bless our time here in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the last time, I think, I talked about how I'd been reading through Ephesians and just reading and reading and reading through Ephesians. And so it's interesting. I've really discovered a blessing in doing that, just kind of dwelling in and a book for quite a long time. And I realized that I just really enjoyed not just reading it over and over again and getting familiar with it, but then taking time to kind of look at the history of it and where it was in history and when it was written and just realize there's a great amount of appreciation for just how everything kind of fits and connected and flows. As you realize that this wasn't just some static book that we have here, but it was people's lives and their experiences and their time in history that really contributes a lot. And so, especially get an idea of, you know, who Paul was or who the Ephesians were or things like that. So, I kind of been parked in 1st and 2nd Timothy for a while now. So I wanted to just kind of talk about that a little bit. And if I were to give a title for today, I would probably say Timothy, the model disciple. And so I'll try to make sense of all this because my notes are kind of all over the place. And so maybe I'll just go over a quick timeline, a little bit of Timothy and his relation to Paul and how they ended up together. And one thing I've noticed is that it's a challenge to really get firm dates on a lot of things. So I might say this-ish and that-ish because depending and where you go and what source you go, the dates can really kind of move around. I know one source or a number of sources have Timothy born in AD 17, but if you really look at the other dates and other things, I really think that it makes more sense and it's more consistent with those that date him as being born in AD 30. So he was born pretty close to the time Jesus was crucified. And he was born in the city of Lystra, which is in modern-day Turkey. And Lystra is kind of an interesting place in the Bible because, well, first of all, it was a Roman military outpost since B.C. sometime. And had a lot of diversity there, and it was known a lot because it had a big temple of Zeus out just outside the city. And if you remember, when Paul and Barnabas went on their first missionary journey, they went to Lystra, and there was a lame man, and Paul says he gazed into his eyes and perceived that he had the faith to be healed, and he said, "Get up and walk," and the guy jumps up and walks, and all of a sudden, everybody thinks these are gods that came down and they tried to, I think they named Barnabas Zeus and and Paul, Hermes, and so they were trying to sacrifice to them, and they had to run out and say, no, don't do this. We're men just like you. And so that, I think that really sets the stage for Timothy in a lot of ways, because we had all of a sudden, he had some interesting miracles that happened in Lystra at that time. And then all of a sudden, you know, the Jews came and they kind of stirred everybody up, and they went from thinking Paul was a god to run, drag him out and stone him, and they left him for dead, and then he just kind of miraculously jumps up and runs back into Lystra. So I think, doesn't really expressly say this, but we know at that time Timothy's mother's name, who was a Jew, and her name was Eunice, and her mother would have been Lois. She was married to a Gentile, Greek. It was sometime during that time that they were converted. And I really feel it was because of that, Paul's first journey there, that they were converted. And then I believe at that time, Timothy most likely was converted. And that would have been happening around, I'd say, 48-ish. So if we think that then Timothy was probably around 18 years old or so at that time when he believed on Christ. But then we don't really hear much more until Paul's second missionary journey, which ends up being Paul and Silas and not Paul and Barnabas at that time. And it was in that time that Timothy is noticed by Paul, and then he becomes a companion of them as they're traveling along. And so we think about that about 51-ish. You know, they ended up in Berea, and right soon after that, so we're thinking, this is a young man. He's now about 20-ish. He's been just shortly with Paul, and Paul sends him out to Thessalonica to get a report of how the church is doing in Thessalonica, and he brings back a good report. He's then, you know, sent to the Corinthians, and I think it's kind of amazing who this young man was, that he was invested in all these special tasks by Paul early on being with him. And so we know that throughout all this, he continues with Paul, and say we left him at like 51-ish, AD 51-ish. We're kind of now like AD 58. So they've been together a while now. And at that point, you know, Paul sent Timothy and Silas to Macedonia and to wait for him there. And then he spent the Passover with Paul that year, and then he was sent ahead to Troas, and then that's kind of like the last time we hear of Timothy in the book of Acts, because all this is pretty much kind of outlined in Acts. So then we know that Paul spent time in prison in Rome twice. And the first time he was there for a number of years, and it was kind of more of an easy time. He had his own apartment. People were able to come and go. And so that's when he wrote a bunch of his letters, like, you know, that we discussed last time. And Timothy was there with him. It says that he was there with him. And there was evidence that at some point Timothy was actually in prison too, during that time, because if we read in Hebrews, I think 13, somewhere it says, our brother Timothy has been released. So he was in prison somewhere in that time period. And so right after, well, it's kind of in that time period too, that all of a sudden he's sent to Philippi, to the Philippian church. And then we'll read about that in Philippians, what Paul has to say about him. But so he went, and he was off here and off there, and Then shortly after that, Paul's released, and he has a period of time where he's visits more of the churches and has another short time. And then we realize that in Troas, Paul's arrested again, dragged back to Rome, and this time it's kind of a, he realizes this is not going to end the same way. He's no longer in his own private apartment. He's in a notorious prison that's known for, yeah, nobody comes out of there. So, it's not easy to get into, because we do hear that at one point Paul is like, everybody's kind of forsaken me. I think it was Onesiphorus or whatever. He said he came and diligently sought me and found me and ministered to me while I was in this prison. And it was in that second prison term that this is now around, actually, yes, because in around AD 62, Timothy's sent to Ephesus. And so he has a big responsibility in Ephesus. And so now the book, 1 Timothy, is kind of highlighting, he's in Ephesus, he's there for a purpose. Paul's highlighting what his purpose there and setting the church in order there. And then Paul's arrested again. And he writes the second letter to Timothy. And you'll see there's a big difference between the two letters. The first one is very straightforward. You know, do this, do that, where it's kind of all essentially like a leadership manual. And the second one is a very personal letter, and he's talking about his deep love and care for Timothy, and he knows that Timothy has had tears for him, and that's kind of like Paul's farewell, final, even though he does then ask Timothy to come and see him before winter, hopefully, to if he's there during winter, he wanted the cloak, and so I have a feeling it's, you know, pretty cold and dismal in that prison and such. So that's essentially Timothy, even though we know it doesn't say it in the Bible specifically, but historians and other historical sources show that he stayed in Ephesus, and it was around AD 97 that he was martyred, and he was trying to exhort the people of Ephesus to stop this lewd and lascivious festival, and he went out and instead they got angry and they dragged him through the streets and beat him and killed him. So, and that was in AD 97. So essentially, Timothy spent like 20 years with Paul, and forgive me, I'm not going to read a lot of like First and Second Timothy, but I did want to say, you know, look into like why was Timothy so special? What did Paul see in him? And at such a young age to start sending him out with confidence to go and lead a church or set people, you know, set things straight, to exhort people, to rebuke them, and have all this encouragement from Paul to do this. And, you know, Timothy obviously held an important position in Paul's mind in the establishment and kind of care of these churches. And, you know, in that way, you know, Timothy is mentioned 28 times in the New Testament. And he's actually appears in the book of Acts, the book of Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Philippians, Colossians, both the Thessalonians, Philemon, Hebrews, and of course in the two books of Timothy. So his name's out there. And I just wanted to read kind of some of what Paul's heart was towards Timothy in this. And like 1st Timothy 1, actually, let me start in Acts, because that's where we first see Timothy. And if we look in Acts 16 and read verses 1 through 5, and this is, you know, describing on their says, then he came to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a certain Jewish woman who believed, but his father was Greek. He was well spoken of by the brethren who were at Lystra and Iconium. Paul wanted to have him go on with him, and he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in that region, for they all knew that his father was Greek. And as they went through the cities, they delivered to them the decrees to keep, which were determined by the apostles and elders at Jerusalem. So the churches were strengthened in the faith and increased in number daily. So really, that makes it sound, oh, and behold, there was a certain disciple there, and Paul wanted him to come with him. It doesn't really say much there, but that's our first. Obviously, there was something there that Paul would have said, hey, I want him to come with me. And you have to understand, right before this, you know, Paul and Barnabas had that sharp dispute over John Mark, and he didn't, you know, want John Mark coming with them, and so that's when, you know, they split, and then he and Silas went on this second missionary journey, and so there was something special, obviously, that he's like, I want this young guy with me, and so if we then go, so look in Philippians, and we can look in Philippians 2, verses 19 through 24, and this is, you know, Paul's writing this while he's in his first imprisonment, and he's writing to the church there, and he says, but I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, that I also may be encouraged when I know your state. For I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state, for all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus. But you know his proven character, that as a son with his father, he served with me in the gospel. Therefore, I hope to send him at once, as soon as I see how it goes with me. But I trust in the Lord that I myself shall also come shortly. So he's really, not only is Paul like convinced of just, you know, how genuine and strong this young man is, the Philippians already know. Because he was there, and so he's really making, you know, a name for himself in Christ in there. And so then if we go back and look at 1 Corinthians 4, 14 through 17, Paul is going to talk more about Timothy here. It says, but I do not write these things to shame you, but as my beloved children, I warn you. For though you might have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Therefore I urge you, imitate me. For this reason, I have sent Timothy to you, who is my beloved and faithful son in the Lord, who will remind you of my ways in Christ as I teach everywhere in every church. So he's like, hey, I can't be there, and this is the next best thing that I know that can come, and like just that I can be just sure that he is going to pass on the things that I would pass on, like I do in all these other churches. So he sends Timothy, and so then we can, of course, in 1 Timothy, you know, he refers to Timothy as a true son in the faith. And in 2 Timothy, he calls him a beloved son. So obviously, Paul has a great deal of love and confidence in Timothy, and that has developed over time, but it had to have come somewhere. Timothy just didn't all of a sudden have all these characteristics, I don't think. And I think you really have to go back and look at how he was brought up. And now this, you know, if we look at 1 Timothy, go back to 1 Timothy 1, and we look at, I'm going to just read, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and the Lord Jesus Christ our hope. To Timothy, a true son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. As I urged you when I went into Macedonia, remain in Ephesus, that you may charge some that they teach no other doctrine, nor give heed to fables. Give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which cause disputes rather than godly edification, which is in faith. Now, the purpose of the commandment is love from a pure heart, from a good conscience, and from sincere faith, from which some, having strayed, have turned aside to idle talk, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor things which they affirm. And what stood out in there was talking about his sincere faith. So he had a sincere faith. And I think that sincere faith will come if we look at, it just shows that he wasn't faking. What he believed sincerely, and he was eager to serve the Lord through that faith. And that really comes from, we obviously, you know, we can read in 2 Timothy, 3:15, we talk about here, we can go back through and just start in 10, verse 10, it says, but you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution, but evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. So, and he also talks, you know, another place where that was in his mother and in his grandmother as well, and then is in him as well. And so he was prepared by his mother and grandmother. We don't really ever hear anything about his father, so we can just assume that his father wasn't a believer, but that they prepared him, and they prepared him not just to know the scriptures, but what was important is that they taught him to know the Holy Scriptures for the purpose of understanding his salvation through faith. Which is a very interesting point, I thought, because if you look at that, all they had was, he had the Old Testament. They had the prophets. They had those things. But through those, his mother and his grandmother taught him to be aware and ready for what those scriptures foretold. And that was a Savior that was going to come. And through that, they also prepared him to be wise to understand that it wasn't through following the law, but it was through that faith that he could be wise unto salvation. Well, it says wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. So they prepared him through what they had. And I really think that's a good reminder and a good encouragement to us as parents and those that are just becoming parents, that diligently teach your children the scriptures, right? And help them to be wise for understanding that call to have faith in Jesus and towards salvation. And so that's like the beginning, the framework was his mother and his grandmother, and they set that stage. And then when Paul came and they saw those things, they were ready and they were converted. And then by the time Paul came back, Timothy was ready and he was eager. And there's nothing that said anything, like he had any kind of reservations, he went, and it wasn't, obviously, it wasn't like the easiest thing, because he had to go through some processes that weren't very pleasant before he went off with Paul, but it says he did it. And so that brings us to his time with Paul, and just Paul was an encourager, and he encouraged and taught, but he didn't just say, hey, do this. We see that Paul actually modeled things for him. Like he gave him responsibility, and he said, go, you know this. Now I'm gonna send you here and you're gonna do this job, because he didn't send him to like easy places. He sent him to Ephesus. I mean, Ephesus is, you know, Diana of the Ephesians, and you know, where they had all kinds of, you know, they had one of the seven wonders of the world there, that temple, which was just an intense pagan place. And in all that, you know, Paul had say, fight the good fight, you know, be steadfast. I like those hymns that we sang that had to do with steadfastness, because Timothy ended up, we know that he did that because he stayed there and he died there. So I like the fact that Paul, you know, he exhorts Timothy in 1 Timothy, talking about the qualifications of elders, and he's talking about, make sure it's not a novice. And I'm like, obviously, Paul didn't consider Timothy a novice. He saw in Timothy, you know, and he was tried and true through this time with Paul. And he also, you know, they talk about not laying hands on anyone hastily and things like that. And Timothy was there overseeing all this. And so obviously, he really took those encouragements and that observations and that experience to heart, and had a heart for following after the things of God. And I think it's we can see a big contrast in how Paul thinks of Timothy and how he, you know, thinks of maybe some of these other Christians that were in there, like when we read in Philippians where he said, I have no one like-minded that I can send. And maybe I should read that just because I don't want to mess it up, and that he was saying, I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state, saying other than Timothy, I can trust him. He says, for all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus. And I thought that jumped out at me as a scary kind of thought, that are we like Timothy? Or are we like the others? Because Paul's not saying that, you know, Timothy has some special gift and he's the only one who can do that. He's kind of saying everybody else could be doing that, but they're not. And they've let their own self-interests and all those other things kind of take precedent over the things that Paul had been exhorting them to do and to follow, like Timothy did. And so Timothy did. Others probably heard and didn't. But constantly Paul is encouraging the churches to be imitators of me as I'm of Christ. And he's saying, these are the things we got to do. And so I looked at that and I'm like, whoa, is that how am I doing in that? Because I feel like a lot of times I get wrapped up in my own problems, my own self-interests, is that how I'm discipling? Am I discipling my children and my family into self-interest versus Christ interest? That was pretty scary. I mean, it's a sobering thought. And and if I go back to 1 Corinthians again, 4:17, it's another part of that thought that for this reason I have sent Timothy to you, who is my beloved and faithful son in the Lord, who will remind you of my ways in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. I feel like we should be, we have a job together to, we know all this. We have all this. Timothy, they didn't have this as, you know, as the letters were written and they were distributed. But now we have this, and it seems to us that it's on us to be doing that, to be reminding each other, to be encouraging each other, to imitate, be imitators of Christ that way. And I pray that, you know, we would all just be faithful in that. And I think we should just be all pondering that daily. Like, where am I in that? Am I being an imitator of Christ? Or am I allowing self-interests to cloud my vision and make me in that category that Paul says that everybody else is seeking their own interests? And so in that way, my desire for myself and to encourage everybody is to be a disciple like Timothy. And we can be disciples, obviously, any age, any stage of our life. We can be disciples like Timothy, being eager, being ready, studying, being steadfast, and even in, I mean, this is just a side note, because I grew, you know, early on, you know, listening to Bible messages and this and that, everybody always calls Timothy, timid Timothy. Oh, he was, you know, he was timid. He was, and when I read what Paul is saying, he's saying, you know, we're not given a spirit of fear, right? He's not saying that to Timothy because Timothy was somehow afraid. He was encouraging Timothy because Paul was in this heinous prison, right, at that time, getting ready to be martyred, and everybody abandoned him, and the only one that he says that essentially it didn't was Luke and this Onesiphorus who came in diligently saying, but the thing of it was, everybody who went there had to go through a lot to get to him, and they ran the risk of ending up there themselves. And Paul was like saying, don't be afraid, because God gives us that strength. And so I'll just encourage everybody to be like Timothy in that. And as we develop, let's keep an eye on then being a discipler like Paul. That's all I have. Thank you.